Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got a guest across the way. It's actually today's business of the day, our guest is. We're going to kind of interview some of the businesses of the day over the next few weeks on their particular days when the timing works out. And it has so happened to work out to hear for my first guest of that nature. It's Andrew Diesel. Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I am outstanding. Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been on the show before. We've talked. Yeah. We've talked on the show before. So I know, I need to state before we get going that Heidi's got us on a short leash.
Yes, definitely. She always does, which is good. So keeps me in line.
So yeah, we'll make sure we don't get in any trouble and make any predictions of that kind of thing. But we're gonna have some fun today. Before we get to talking about investments, I know Andrew Diesel. You've been in Edward Jones how long now?
This is my 10th year.
You've been in doing it for 10 years.
Yep.
I cannot believe you've been doing that for 10 years.
That's gone very quick. It's one of those things too. I think the first few years is kind of let's shove everything down your throat and learn everything as much as possible, and then after that is just kind of do as best as you can.
Before we get into that kind of stuff, give me a little the short history of Andrew Diesel. Before you were doing this, you were doing all kinds of things.
Yeah,
you got widely varied.
You said short, right?
Short as you like.
Okay.
I might pick something out and ask about it.
Okay. I was actually born here in Fairfield. I don't know if you wanted that to start out with.
That's fine.
Born and raised here in town. Went to high school here in town. Actually went to college in Michigan. Got a degree in mechanical engineering.
Where'd you go up there?
The school was called GMI when I started, and then by the time I had ended, it was called Kettering University.
Oh, okay.
They actually opened the school. GM.
Yeah, I've heard of Kettering. I've never had heard of
GM. Opened the school in 1918 to
General Motors.
Yeah, educate their engineers.
Oh, so, really?
It's a full co-op program where you go one semester or one quarter working, and then you go the next quarter is schoolwork. So you get a lot of hands-on experience.
So you got the opportunity to work inside the largest corporation in the world, basically. One of the largest corporations in the world.
Part of the schooling was a lot of the professors were tied into GM or to Ford or to Chrysler. So we got to go through the plants and stuff like that. But I actually did my co-op work back here at Airtex.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Airtex actually sponsored me to go through school, which was wonderful for me because they paid tuition and room and board to go. So worked out really well. After college, I worked at Airtex for 3 to 5 years. Can't remember exactly.
I like how you put that. That sounds like a sentence.
Right.
Three to five.
It depends what you're counting there because.
I did 3 to 5 at Airtex.
Right. Well, the end of the college program, you had to finish your thesis to get your bachelor's.
Oh, I see.
So part of that was part of the thesis program. Yeah. So I did that. Then I worked at a place in Evansville, just an engineering firm over in Evansville for a while, and decided, hey, I don't want to drive back and forth to Evansville every day.
Yeah.
And that's when I got into Edward Jones.
What made you decide that engineering wasn't for you and you'd kind of like to be involved in investments?
Two reasons. Number one was proximity to home. I definitely wanted to be in Fairfield. My wife is from Fairfield.
Yeah.
I'm from Fairfield.
Were you dating her at the time?
Yeah, we had just started dating.
I thought that you guys had been together about that long.
Yeah, we just started dating about that time. Like I said, her family's from here. I'm from here, so it just made sense that way. The second thing is, in an engineering firm, you have several different bosses.
Yeah.
You're accountable to several different people. Now where I'm at, I'm accountable to a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
But I get to set my own schedule.
Yeah.
I can set appointments at this time or this time.
You can make it for 8 o'clock at night to make it convenient for somebody.
Exactly. Yeah, if it's convenient for them, it works. The second thing is, now that I have kids, it's very good if I have to run somewhere, take the kid to ball practice or whatever it is to fit our schedule.
Tell me about the wife and family. Which direction I'm heading because I want to talk about eventually the best wedding I've seen in a long time.
My wife was Larna Cessna. Now she's Larna Diesel, obviously. She's second grade teacher at Jasper Grade School. She was the kindergarten teacher at Johnsonville grade school for 7 years.
So you moved closer to home, too.
Yes, yeah, about 20 miles closer.
Yeah.
So it works 20 miles there, 20 miles here. So we have two boys. They're twins, 4.5 years old, Keaton and Kendall.
Are they difficult to tell apart? Are they identical?
For me and her, I still have times where I will call them the wrong name. Yeah. Now, if you see their...
But you know you've called them the wrong name whenever you...
Sometimes.
Oh, really?
Here's the thing is, you know, obviously they're identical twins, but they definitely have different personalities.
Yeah.
So if you just watch their mannerisms or their personality for a few seconds, you can kind of tell who they are. But again, you know, I'm around them all the time, so
yeah,
that's easier for me. But I think a lot of people have a hard time telling them. And I told you this story earlier.
Yeah, I was going to say, does anybody ever get confused?
Yeah, we were at this is the first year they're playing T-ball.
Really? They having fun?
They're, well.
They enjoy T-ball?
I have one of them that is, he's very into it. He's, you know, he'll ask questions during the game. He's very into sports.
Yeah.
And the other guy, he's just not into it.
Well, see, now that's fine.
Right.
As an identical twin, I can tell you that there's nothing wrong with the twins being.
Right. And if he never likes sports, that's perfectly fine. You know, whatever he likes is whatever he likes. But last Wednesday, we were at our softball game, and they actually had the batting order set up where one of them batted first and the other one batted.
This is T-ball, so everybody gets to bat.
So one of them was batting first and the other one was batting last.
I'm presuming the one that's batting first is the one that's into it.
Yes, Kendall. Yeah, he's into it. And
he's a good hitter?
He's a good hitter. He batted, went through. We got around
to... What's the scouting report on the 4.5-year-old?
Pretty much, are we talking in the field or are we talking at bat?
Either way. What's his VORP?
In the field, it's basically just manage till the next inning.
Okay.
You know, at bat, it's... obviously try to make contact.
Yeah, sure.
So Kendall goes through and he hits and he goes around the bases. And in T-ball, the last batter gets to go around as a home run.
Oh, he's the – okay, I see.
Right. So the lady that's working the dugout or doing the lineup for the dugout, God bless her, she asked for Keaton to get in the on-deck circle to start warming up.
As the last hitter.
Right, and keep in mind, Keaton is the one that he's not as into it as Kendall is.
Okay.
So Kendall stands up and walks over and puts his helmet on and says, "I'm Keaton." So he goes out and gets in the warm-up circle and starts swinging, and we didn't really think anything about it because we're trying to manage the other kids on the
bases. Well, yeah, it's like herding cats.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's T-ball.
Right, so batter hits, and then Kendall walks up there in Keaton's place, and he takes one swing, and my wife, who's over by first base, looks at me, and I'm over by shortstop, and she says, "That's Keaton, isn't it?" And I said, "Or that's Kendall, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think that's Kendall." So I ended up having to walk up to home plate and carry the kid back to the dugout and switch twins. So
you didn't let the driven kid steal his way onto the field.
No, well, and that's the one thing that my wife and I have been very adamant about is, even though Keaton doesn't like to be out there as much as Kendall, is, hey, if we're going to be out there, I know they're 4 years old.
Yeah,
but let's
they're both going to participate.
Right, let's go through the process. If you don't like it next year, you don't like it the following year, we don't have to play.
There you go.
But if we're going out there, we're going to do it. So
so Keaton didn't really mind Kendall
stepping
in.
No, he didn't mind at all. In fact, I think he was standing at the fence of the dugout cheering him on. So that may be the way it goes.
He was looking for the pinch hitter.
Right.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Well, that's pretty cool. I've got Andrew Diesel on here. We're going to talk about – he's the – actually, Andrew Diesel, Edward Jones is the business of the day today here on WFIW. And we're going to talk about all kinds of other things with Andrew regarding Edward Jones and as well as regarding I got to ask about his impressions of the Elk wedding, the Elk's wedding that took place a couple of – last month, I guess. That's been 3 or 4 weeks now.
Yeah, it's been – yeah, about a month now.
So we'll talk about that kind of stuff and all kinds of other things when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on WFIW AM 1390 and 104.9 FM. Back in a sec. Mm-hmm.
sing this song so well.
If you be my Tennessee Jenny, I'll be your Tennessee man. And we can walk together down in Dixieland. Down in Dixieland.
Everywhere we made all the hot spots, my money flowed like wine. And then I low down Southern whiskey began to fog my mind. And I don't remember tasting the money I put down on the white picket fence and boardwalk of the house at the edge of town. Oh, but boy, do I remember the strain of her brain.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. My guest across the way is Andrew Diesel. He's a representative for Edward Jones here in Fairfield, and they are today's business of the day. Before we get into that kind of stuff, I mentioned it before the break. I was invited, and I was pleased to be invited, by way of ticket to a tremendously enjoyable and decidedly unique experience last month by your father-in-law.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Elks wedding. How did that come about? Do you know?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. I thought the wedding, obviously.
We're talking about Tim Cessna.
Tim Cessna and Terry Miller.
Terry Miller.
Those two have dated for
16 years.
Yeah, long time. 15, 16 years. The whole thing that came about, Tim is a huge Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
I think if you ever drive past his house there on Delaware, you can see that. He's got a flag flying, and the big joke at my house, or running joke has been the last 4 years, is which boy's going to wear Kentucky and which boy's going to wear Illinois
stuff. I got to tell you, I can't see that getting through.
Right. Yeah. I've told my boys that they can wear Kentucky stuff when they're at the grandpa's house, but if they walk through the door with it on, they'll be sleeping in the garage or potentially outside with the animals.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I understand.
Yeah. The wedding came about. I think they more or less wanted a more of a carefree type,
sure.
A lounge type atmosphere where people could be comfortable.
Yeah.
And you and I talked. I think that's the first wedding that we had ever seen.
You've been involved with the Elks Club for probably 15 years.
Yeah.
I've been involved with the Elks Club for 25, 26, 27 years, and I've never seen one there. I've never seen a wedding, actual wedding.
Yeah, and the actual setup of the wedding was pretty neat. On the tickets, I think on the backside.
It was not an invitation in your standard form.
Correct. It was a ticket.
It was a ticket.
Right.
Like a ball game.
Right. Like you'd go to Busch Stadium and ticket to the ball game, which was neat. It had the time of the wedding and all the specifics of the wedding. But it also said, hey, you can wear whatever team of choice.
Sports.
Memorabilia
sports.
Or a jersey or whatever you want to wear. So everybody that showed up to the wedding was in mostly sports jerseys, shirts,
for the most
stuff
part,
like
yeah.
that. The actual officiant of the wedding was Brett Marshall, and he
Modine
had a jersey.
Wore a jersey.
Of an official, which was
that was
a
creative.
Pretty good idea.
That was creative. Bart did that for him, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Bart suggested that.
So basically we all walked in, the theme music, and you have to remember or remind me exactly
it was the Let's Get Ready to Rumble song.
Right, a lot of teams
yeah.
use for their warm-ups.
Yeah.
Which was pretty neat.
That was pretty cool.
The whole ceremony was about 7 minutes long.
Yeah, with song.
With song, yeah. Correct. Yeah. I told Bodine afterwards.
Which was beautifully performed.
Yes, I said, I think this is the fastest wedding I've ever been to, which was perfect for them. And the thing about it, like I said, is this is the part that kind of hurts me, is my boys walked in sort of as a ring bearer type,
yeah,
with Kentucky shirts on, which, That was the one time where I...
The one time you really kind of had to accede, didn't you? Accede to that.
Yeah. But here was the one thing about that is we bought blue shirts.
Okay.
From probably Walmart or somewhere like that. Bought blue shirts and had a Kentucky sticker put on the shirt. So it wasn't technically a Kentucky shirt. When they got home, I peeled the Kentucky sticker off.
Oh, I see now that's thinking.
Right.
So. See, that way, also, you'll be able to use the shirts again.
Correct, yeah.
I want to mention one other thing that I thought, and I think it's great. Tim gets along with at least one ex-wife. I don't know if he gets along with both of them or not. But one of them was there. Right. Donita was there.
Yes.
And you know, for the folks who are Kentucky fans, I thought the funniest thing I saw all night long was that the ex-wife was wearing a Duke jersey.
Yeah.
You can't get any better than
that. Yeah, the only thing that would have been better was if it was a Leitner jersey.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I thought that was really thoughty. I thought that was a lot of fun. Well, best of luck to them. And you can tell that you've got a close family, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Okay. You've been with the Edward Jones Corporation now, the group, for 10 years, thereabouts. You started in what all – and you came over from another industry. And you'd been presumably interested in stocks and bonds and portfolios prior to joining Edward Jones, or you wouldn't have done it, I guess, right?
Right. I think everybody's interested in making some money.
Everybody's interested in making money.
Right.
Sure.
Makes life easier.
Yeah. Makes you able to do things.
Correct.
There, it gives you the freedom. What kind of training is involved in getting started in something like that, as well as continuing?
Right. When I started, Edward Jones actually put on a 12-week course of learning different types of securities and how they work together. You have to take a certain types of tests.
And this is training in knowledge of the industry, not selling. This is industry knowledge training.
Right, just industry knowledge, knowing the product, knowing stocks and bonds and mutual funds, annuities, different types of securities. And how the whole market is made up, you know, how different types of markets interact with each other. You have to take a Series 7 test to be able to sell those types of things or certain types of things.
That's the stocks test.
Correct.
The bonds test as well. It used to be, is bonds the same test?
Bonds the same test.
And insurance is 6 or something like that, or used to be?
Well, they've got different tests now. When I went through, it was the series, you had to take the 6 and the 63. And the 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually took my 7 on a Tuesday and turned around and took the other 2 on a Friday.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, it was...
That seems a little bit...
cumbersome?
Yeah, a little bit dense. A little bit dense of learning, huh?
Yeah, but again, I had 12 weeks to prepare yourself for it. So, and again, that's kind of at your own pace. For me, I've always been a good test taker, so it kind of went a little bit quicker, but... you do that, and then you have to go into the home office in St. Louis for a period of time, about half a month, to kind of learn the sales portion of it.
Yeah, that maybe get an idea of the culture of Edward Jones?
Yeah, you get to learn the background of Edward Jones and kind of how Edward Jones.
Of the company,
Jones,
I mean.
Yeah, how Edward Jones is separated from other investment firms, philosophy-wise.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody this that comes in my office, I'm not a salesman.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
I'm very much a numbers person. I think a lot of people like that. But I also think some people are kind of driven away by that too. So.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe not driven away, but you probably don't attract as many flies.
That's probably the better
That's probably the wrong way to put it. As many flies as you otherwise would.
Correct. Yeah.
That may not be, how about as many
right, it's
bees?
Not, it's not flashy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to, you're not going to drive down the road and look at that building and say, hey, there's the guy that.
There's the guy who's, yeah. You're not, now, so what you're telling me is, though, then you're not going to have the, like the occasional sale you'll see with the blow up dude flapping around and that.
Right, kind of. Exactly. I'd like to have one of those.
That would be pretty cool.
I'd rather have it at my house.
Though. I bet your kids would like that.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so you go through the 12 weeks, right? You go through the extra period of time at the Edward Jones itself. And then they turn you loose, huh? Is that how that works?
They turn you loose, yeah. And it's kind of a
how is Edward Jones different from I was going to say AG Edwards, but they're gone now. I mean, yeah. But they were both St. Louis companies,
right?
And AG Edwards got purchased, but
yeah, Edward Jones is set up as a individual, one person or one advisor in the office,
yeah.
Which is different than most other firms, which most other firms would have several people in the office with a manager. At Edward Jones, like I said, it's usually just one person. Now you will find very randomly, you will find where there are two people in one office, mm-hmm. Or maybe even three. The other thing for us, training-wise, was, you know, we went through this, and it, my opinion, you know, which is just an opinion, is maybe this is enough training, or maybe it's not enough training for somebody to go out and do an adequate job for somebody for their life savings, you know, because we're talking somebody's retirement. So
yeah, you're talking, that's
very important.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, you know, something we did in the office, or we try to do, is obviously continuing education. We try to educate ourselves as much as possible on what's happening current events wise, or even inside the industry.
You're not telling me that Edward Jones isn't like telling you they're not giving you different ones to push or something like that?
No, they're not giving us specific products to push or certain stocks to push or anything like that. My opinion is that would be unethical.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it myself, so I wouldn't expect anybody else or even the whole firm to do it.
Yeah.
So, one thing that we took on ourselves is we did become a CFP in 2012, which was...
Is that a certified financial planner?
Yes. Yeah, and that's just something, like I said, it allows us to understand the product a little bit better. It's more training in the product. It's also training on how those products work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I have life insurance and I have a mutual fund and I'm trying to create income for life, you know, how those all work.
I was going to say that also kind of gives you entrance into different products like annuities and that kind of thing, right?
Actually the Series 7 and the 6 allows you to do annuities. Again, it's just how do those products work with each other, you know, because you don't want to do something that's going to conflict with your taxes or going to conflict with each, you know, different types of securities.
Sure. So. You don't give tax advice?
No.
No. But as such, you're basically telling folks, you give them, you make sure that they get the information that folks need to be able to make an educated decision based on their taxes and what other things. Right.
What I like to do, you know, when people come in the office is we like to collect certain types of information. I always want to know who's the person doing their taxes. And the reason is because if they're in the office and we have a question on a tax situation, we can always call that person at the time.
Yeah.
Or I can tell them, hey, before you make this decision, you should talk to so-and-so.
Yeah.
You should talk to
your CPA. Is that something that happens from time to time? I guess my question is, how often does do tax implications fall into your bailiwick and your under the purview of whatever you're doing for
diesel? Yeah, it's less now than what it was back in 2010, 2011. You know, and again, I'm not giving tax advice, but the government came in and you don't have to pay a capital gains tax if you're in the 10 or 15 bracket.
Yeah.
So there are people that fall in those brackets to where you don't have to do a thorough investigation if you're in that bracket than if you were above that bracket.
You just don't have the questions.
Right.
Used to be like $2 million or something. You'd have to become aware of estate taxes implications,
right.
And
yeah,
that kind of thing. How much has it changed then? You've been doing this since 2006, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much has it changed in that period of time?
The industry's changed tremendously over the last 10 years, and probably the last two or three years has been we've had the largest change over the last year that we've had probably since the late 80s.
In your side of the industry?
In my side of the industry, yeah.
How so?
Department of Labor came out with new rules in April on retirement accounts and how they're managed.
Of April of this year?
April of this year.
Okay.
Yeah. They actually don't go into effect till January 1st, 2018, but...
You got to alert them.
Yeah, there are rules out there that, hey, we got to be compliant by this day, and You know, it's been a big change, and I think it's going to continue to change as well. So,
so you can't really fall back on your education.
You can't get comfortable.
I'm talking with Andrew Diesel. He's the Andrew Diesel. Edward Jones is the business of the day today, and we'll be back and talk more with Andrew when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
I'm walking out by myself. Well, I was talking to myself about you. What am I gonna do? I was singing.
Welcome back to the WFIW Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390. Well, I'm on AM 1390 now, apparently. And also WFIW FM eventually. I think I'm back on AM 1390 now. We had a little technical issue, apparently, but it's good to be back. My guest this morning is Andrew Diesel. He's the advisor, local advisor for Edward Jones. And Andrew, okay, you came in. In 2006, right?
Right.
That's when he started doing this part of it. 2 years after that, the world kind of changed on investing, and in 2008 with all the crazy stuff that happened in then. What were your impressions at the time? And I'm not going to ask if you can see something like that happening again, but were you surprised when the housing bubble burst, or was Edward Jones surprised, I guess, or? Everybody must have been somewhat surprised.
Yeah. I think most people were surprised by that, or at least the
market
scale
were.
Of it. Yeah. You know, I actually started in December of 2006.
Uh-huh.
The market went up, obviously, through 2007.
It was still going. Yeah.
The first part of 2008, you're talking maybe through March or April, it started to decline when Bear Stearns kind of had their news come out.
Yeah.
And then in September of 2008 was the
AIG issues. And
AIG, Lehman Brothers filed bankruptcy. Yeah. And actually Lehman Brothers was an A-rated company the Friday before they filed bankruptcy. And then it just fell off a cliff in October.
I guess the question is, part of your job is to
Mitigate risk.
There Correct. You go.
Yeah. That's one of the biggest parts of the job is to mitigate risk for if something like that would happen again. You know, do we want to see that decline again? Obviously, no.
Sure.
But what do we do before that happens to take care of that? You know.
See, now that's the interesting thing about markets and how they work. You never see, you'll see the occasional crash like that or just tremendous drop off of 20% or 15% in one particular day. You never see the tremendous upswing of 15% to 20% in one. That'd be kind of more fun,
right? Yes, definitely. Seems like markets go down a lot quicker than they go up. That's what it seems.
Wouldn't that be more interesting?
Well, and, you know, you go back and you look at, I think it was 2011 or 2012 where they had the computer glitch, the flash crash.
Yeah.
and it dropped over like 1,100 points in the matter of
in minutes,
2 seconds.
Yeah,
yeah, and actually had a
and then it was back up.
Actually, had a buddy call me when that happened. You know, he just happened to be watching the screen. I have my quote screen up, and he called me. He said, "What's going on?" I said, "I have no idea." And I said, "You know, something's got to be wrong because you just you never see that."
Yeah.
And
something was wrong.
I mean, you've watched markets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just never see that.
Yeah.
And there was something wrong. You know, there's a computer problem with it. And the one big thing to take away from that is don't get too antsy or too nervous about a situation like that. If you've done your due diligence or done your job beforehand, then you should be perfectly fine.
And that's your and that's part of what you're there for.
Correct. Yeah, that's why I got a job.
Yeah. Talking with Andrew Diesel at Edward Jones. He's the Edward Jones advisor out there at 1001 Commerce Drive in Fairfield. And one of the favorite things – all right, I'm not going to ask you the future of the markets because you
Cause,
can't talk about
cause
it.
Because Heidi would be mad.
Yeah, I could sit here and ask you the questions you can't – okay, I can – what's the market going to do this week?
I have no comment per Heidi.
What do you think of the InBev purchase?
No comment.
All right. That's all. We've established that. What's the future then that you can talk about? Tell me what you think. Are the Illini going to be okay with John Gross for another year?
Well, I definitely think he'll be around for another year.
Well, he's certainly going to be there for another year.
Yeah. Obviously, it's going to depend on performance this year. There's been a lot of stuff floating around the program that needs to be cleared up as well.
Yeah. What did you think of Kendrick Nunn getting tossed? And the other two guys getting to stay and Kendrick getting tossed.
I thought on Kendrick Nunn, it's one of those things where it had to happen. You know, if you're going to have that type of stuff around the program, then, you know, what are we doing as a public university or even any type of university?
Folks,
it's not Baylor.
No. Folks, the reason I'm asking Andrew all these, Andrew, tell everybody you're somewhat of an enthusiastic
Illinois
basketball fan.
I love
the
Illini.
Yeah. And an enthusiastic Illinois football fan.
Not as much as basketball, but it is who I follow.
Do you like Lovie?
Yes, I think it was a great hire.
Did you? I got to ask.
I'm also a Bears fan, too. So.
I know you're a Bears and Cubs fan. We're not going to talk about that. Not going to talk about that. Well, Mike, talk a little bit about it. Well, by the way, say hello to some of the listeners out there who have mentioned. Shout out there to Justin. Okay, so when you found out about Lovie, what was your immediate thought?
I thought this is going to be great for recruiting. The more places or the bigger name that you're going to put out there, the better it's going to be because kids do follow that these days. And one thing that I'll bring up I think is great for him is the fact that they have allowed the satellite camps because, you know, there's a kid in Texas or there's a kid in Florida that may not know that Lovie Smith is the coach at Illinois.
Yeah.
But if he's had coaching stints in Dallas or he's had coaching stints different places, it allows him that foot in the door. And satellite camps like that, it's a great way for them to introduce themselves to kids and for kids to be seen.
I was kind of astonished that the NCAA outlawed them to start with.
I mean, their reason behind it is that it gives an unfair advantage. But I don't really see
– To who?
Exactly. I don't really see, you know, giving more
– Exposure.
Exposure to kids to be seen by more universities is, to me, that's a good thing. It can only be a good thing. Now, I could see if Adidas or Nike are getting kind of in on this and paying the bill for it, then we need to police.
Flying some recruit down.
Right. We need to police that, but the other part is only positive. So
the other thing I thought about, and I must admit, I selfish. This is awful and selfish, but whenever the Baylor thing happened, whenever it finally blew up last week or week before last, and Art Briles gets tossed, and I thought, thank goodness that the Illini have Lovie Smith under contract because he's a Texas coach, and you got to figure if I'm Baylor, if I'm a Baptist university, Baptist private university, who's the first guy I'm going to go look for?
Yeah, he's definitely a candidate.
It's Lovie,
right?
If Mike Singletary and then Lovie,
right? Well, and I thought you were going to go in the direction of, hey, this is going to take some media coverage away from.
Well, no, I wasn't. That's pretty cool, too.
Right. Yeah, that's silver lining, right?
That's exactly right. That's an unintended consequence, right. Which was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely positive for us.
But I thought, thank heavens, the Lovey's under contract, or that would have been where the first place you look if you're Baylor, right?
Right, yeah, and you know, if you're a high school kid and you're wanting to, and I don't know, because I do follow basketball more than football, but you know, if you're a high school kid wanting to get to the NFL, that's your ultimate goal is to get to the NFL, what better way to go than with a former NFL coach?
Okay, back to basketball, since that's your bailiwick. It was crucial that the Illini got Mike Thorne back, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we and, of course, it's been several years since we've had that big man. And if you look at the games where he played for the Illini last year.
Iowa State game was.
Yes, it was huge.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. He's very productive. For me, it allows Finke to do several different things as well. So you're not just helping by adding the guy. You're helping the other players by allowing them to play other positions.
Finke and Maverick Morgan will be able to go away from the hoop, with Finke especially.
Yeah, Finke especially. I really thought Maverick Morgan later in the year made a huge huge jump.
Yeah.
Of course, he'll be a senior this year, so yeah. I think he'll make another jump.
I don't
think he'll get the playing time that you would hope for a senior, but, again, he's going to have competition there, which is wonderful.
Do you think Tracy Abrams will be able to play effectively after a couple of years out?
You know, I don't think he'll be back to where he was, and he doesn't have to be. If he is –
They kind of need a steadying presence anyway,
he needs
don't the
they? Steady presence. He needs to be a distributor mostly. You definitely need him to take an open shot because we didn't have that the last few years where the point guard could shoot the ball.
Yeah, Jalen Tate, not a shooter.
No.
And they knew that going in.
Yeah, nobody
said he was
asking
him to do that until last year whenever the Illini didn't have anybody else.
Right, yeah. I think he'll be probably 75% of what he was before, and even there he's probably better than what we have had. Now, of course, they have the freshman coming in, Tajon Lucas, that he had a fracture to his right foot, so we'll see how that goes.
How about JCL? What do you think of Coleman Lance? He's he's stepping up, isn't he?
Yeah, I think him, Aaron Jordan, and DJ Williams will have the biggest jumps this year. If you look, they are all shooters. Williams to a lesser degree, but the other two are definitely shooters. And you can't have enough shooters on any team.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Golden State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear.
Well, and that's the one thing, and I brought this up several times to Justin, actually. If you look at Golden State, and it's not a direct comparison, but look at 2005 Illinois.
Yeah. Powell could shoot.
Right. They're similar in style. Now, obviously.
Darren Williams could shoot.
Right.
Luther Head could shoot.
Obviously, Golden State's better. I mean,
yeah,
it's the
course.
NBA. And we're not trying to say that they're the same. But the style of play is very similar to each other.
Short possessions.
Short possessions, three-point shooting team, and shoot at a good clip.
Yeah.
You know. Defense is pretty good, but it's not their carrying card.
All right, we've got less than a minute to go. Give me a prediction. NCAA tournament. Got to get in the tournament.
Got to get in the tournament. Yeah.
Top five, top six in the. We're going to avoid. Please tell me first of all, we're going to avoid the play-in day on the Big Ten, and I'd really kind of like to avoid the second play-in day too, if that possible. Is that possible?
I think we'll be top five, probably four or five, somewhere in that range, because I do think the Big Ten will be down a little bit. I think Wisconsin will be really good. I really think that we'll be in that 4-5 range, maybe 21 to 23, 24 wins. Now, last year, you know, you had your first games in Springfield.
Yeah.
And had you won those games, had a good chance of getting in.
And they were terrible in Springfield.
Yes, absolutely terrible.
They were just terrible.
But if you win those games, I mean, which are going to be in Champaign this year,
yeah,
you've got a good chance of making the tournament.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Andrew Diesel. And thanks very much for coming on, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Folks, have a great one.